Almost from the start, Wexford attack. The pace is fast, the hurling keen. Nicky Racker gets a ground pass, pulls hard, and the ball shakes the net.
There's a poem by Butler Yeats referring to the people who took part in the Rising of 1916, and there's a line in it which said, "They filled our childish play." That's what the hurlers did. They filled our childish play. When we went to play in the local ball alley, you were Nicky Rackard, you were Nick O'Donnell, you were the great Ned Wheeler. If you were in the goal, you were obviously the Artie Foley.
Some went in pony and traps. They left on a Wednesday and they went up somewhere to Dun York by Mayhem and Nature, and tethered the horse there for a few hours and off again. Joe Breen now, the great Joe Breen. Joe had a pony and trap when the Croke Park to those games. Wexford, on a Monday after an All-Ireland final, wouldn't be a sinner working on it. Not a sinner. A new era had hit the town, and the lads took the great, great pleasure in it.
Billy was the one. We have to get something from Billy Rackard. I should look, he was a legend. And I was lucky enough to, in my time as Leinster chairman, I brought him to Croke Park one day. I brought him as a guest, and I got a steward to show him around Croke Park. But I said, when you're finished bringing him around Croke Park, bring him back to me, because I want to bring him out on the pitch and I want to bring him into the dressing room. I felt very honoured to be able to do it and to have him there. And I know he said to me, he looked around Croke Park and he said, he took off, he had a hat, he used to wear, he was very elegant looking, Billy was, and I brought him into the dressing room and he went into the training area. And I never forget what he said to me. And I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "Well, it's a bit bigger than when we were here."
The challenge of an ancient game brought glory, glory to your name. Though March winds blew, the crowd still came to watch you, gentle hero. In life's long march, you made us proud. Many a voice from out the crowd called out your name aloud, aloud, an echo still resounding. And Blackstairs men who saw you then still speak of you in awe. On Cormorant's Green, where you have been, they tell of what they saw. We watched you on September fields, and lightning was the drive. You were the one Cuchulain son in 1955.
The 1950s was a golden era for Wexford hurling. Boys became men, and those men became legends. Names like Rackard, Wheeler, O'Donnell, Foley and Keogh are today still very much revered. They won the All-Ireland Finals of 1955 and 1956, and many also picked up a third medal in 1960. On this journey, we talked to some of the former players and people to whom these heroes set the heather blazing. Tony Dempsey is a former Wexford senior county hurling manager, and he remembers this band of brothers well.
I was lucky enough, believe it or not, to win a Leinster medal with Enniscorthy CBS, Leinster junior and senior. And Nick O'Donnell, Nicky Rackard, Padge Keogh came in to give us the medals. But I saw them play. But I think their play was only part of their whole impact on Wexford society. Alan, someone of your age couldn't possibly understand what those people meant. We didn't have mobile phones. We didn't have any kind of a phone. If you were lucky, there was a phone in the post office. And there probably wasn't a phone in the post office in Davistown in 1951 when Ray Brennan played in the goal and he was our neighbour and his mother was my teacher, right? But if you come to the mid-50s, I'm not sure even if he had the post, if he had a phone at that time. But very few houses had phones. So basically, all you had was hurling. I wouldn't have known the shape of a hurling ball, a rugby ball, until I was probably 14 or 15. So it was hurling, hurling, hurling. And these guys off the field, I saw them play. I remember being at a match. My brother brought me to Belfield on the bar of a bike. Bobby Rackard came back having had that awful injury, walked down the sideline on a crutch, and the crowd just stood up and applauded him. And I said to my brother, "Why is that?" He says, "That's the great Bobby Rackard." But, you know, it was the impact it made on us as a society. And I know you referred to it as Wexford Rising. There's a poem by Butler Yeats referring to the people who took part in the Rising of 1916. And there's a line in it which said, "They filled our childish play." That's what the hurlers did. They filled our childish play. When we went to play in the local ball alley, you were Nicky Rackard, you were Nick O'Donnell, you were the great Ned Wheeler. If you were in the goal, you were obviously the Artie Foley. You know, we didn't know about Man United. We didn't hear about them. The other thing that, excuse me, amazed me was the modes of transport were legendary. And I've talked to every one of the 56, 55 teams. Mick Morrissey, I met Art over in New York, had dinner with him. I talked to him for 20 minutes today of his 90th birthday. And he was an amazing man. In their moment of victory, they beat Galway in 1955. Galway weren't regarded as a serious hurling team. In fact, the man that played on that team probably taught you in the CBS, McInerney.
My favourite teacher.
He played that time. I remember him well. But the media would have said, the press, and the media for us was the local Enniscorthy Echo. And, you know, if you're in New Ross, it was the New Ross Standard or whatever. And Micheál O'Hare was the media. That summed up the media. But they said, well, you know, they haven't beaten the Munster team. So now 56 comes. And Christie was going for his ninth medal, right? The heading on the Sunday Independent, and I'd be prepared to bet there'd be rings around Rackard today. And there was a photograph of Bobby and little men, mini photographs of Christie in a circle around him. Mm. But when they won that All-Ireland, what was the first man they thought of?
Christie.
Compare that with the culture of today. So they moulded a culture. They were sportsmen supreme.
2 minutes to go. Ryan passes it into Rackard. Up he goes, pounds the ball, goes round his man, and there it is, the goal to settle the match. And as the final whistle blows on one of the greatest, if not the greatest, final of all time.
Art Foley, goalkeeper during most of this period, recently celebrated his 90th birthday. He now lives in New York, but he has very fond memories of his days in the purple and gold.
It was a great time. I don't know, it was like we were struggling there for years, and then suddenly everything went together, and it made things very good for us, and actually we could have won a couple of more All-Irelands.
It was only when you beat Cork that you were recognised as true All-Ireland champions. Is that the way you looked on it as well?
Oh, yeah.
Why was that, Art?
I don't know, we were on the cusp there for a while, and we never could break through.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said we're never going to do it, so we defied them all and we done it.
What was it like playing with the Rackards, Art? Nicky Rackard, was he the greatest for you? Or when you look back on these marvellous men, who for you were your standout hurlers?
Well, standout hurler, I'd say Jim Morrissey, Ned Wheeler, Nicky O'Donnell, Bobby Rackard, Billy in the later years. For years, Billy was he was carried, actually. But in the later years, he blossomed, so he found his right position in centre half back when Bobby moved out of it.
There's one All-Ireland where you're credited with making what they call the All-Ireland winning save. Which one was that and what happened?
I was 56.
Tell me about it. What happened?
What happened? Well, Chris ringed the ball 21 yards out and let fly.
You saw it coming, you dived, you managed to parry it away. What happened?
I blocked it.
Yeah.
And the ball went straight up in the air. And the Cork men coming in all directions, and Wexford backs trying to hold them out. And there's only one chance, and that was to block the ball out to the left, away from the goal. And luckily I did.
Luckily you did, and Christy Ring remarked afterwards, because I have it here in front of me in an interview, he said, when I got through, I thought I had it, but Art Foley had other ideas, and fair play to him, he made a great save.
Kelly up by the Christy Ring. Ring in front of the goal is going through. He steadies himself, he takes the shot, it's blocked by Art Foley, and it's cleared out by Art Foley. Oh, a great clearance there by Art Foley.
And is that the day they lifted him shoulder high, or was it another day that happened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah.
Nico came along and said, let's carry him off. Now I looked at Nico. I'm 5'6", 5'7".
Yeah.
Nico was 6'4".
Yeah.
I said, Nick, that'd be a little lopsided, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'm 5'6". You're 6'4". So Bobby was over a little distance from him, so I called Bobby over. I said, Bobby, come over here. Nico wants to carry Christy off. So.
Yeah.
Bobby came over. Okay. So I had to give Christy a boost to get up on their shoulders. So. I heaved them up and to their shoulders and carried them off.
This kind of heroic resistance by Billy Rackard could possibly last.
However, with Bobby Rackard playing the game of his life, the Wexford men stand firm.
Taking stick, will Nicky try for a Nicky special? He's looking at the goal, he's bending, he's lifting, he's striking, and he sends it high, and it's over the bar for the lead for Wexford again.
Former chairman of Leinster GAA, Seamus Howlin, who recently sadly passed away, had a huge bond with the men of the 50s and developed a great friendship with Billy Rackard.
To do something that you never had done before is very difficult, and the Rackards and the Wheelers and I just mentioned a few with all the lads there, Nick O'Donnell and all of them. Sure, it was a great thing for the county and something that they can be. They were all, I know, very, because I met a lot of them in later years. I think Art Foley and Ned now, unfortunately, are only two that are alive. But I met a lot of those people, and look, they were legends to speak to, nice people. Apart from being nice hurlers, they were all lovely people as well.
Billy Rackard went on to be a very special friend for you.
Yeah, Billy. Back in, I think, 89, we in Wexford, we said we'd do a nice programme for a county final. And I went into Billy's old furniture shop and asked him would he do a bit for the first really nice programme we ever did, I think, in Wexford. I'm talking about a coloured programme with maybe 30 or 40 pages in it. We said that Billy was the one, we have to get something from Billy Rackard. And I went in and I got a negative, first of all, but I kept going back because people know me, I'm a bit persistent that way. And eventually he agreed to do it. And it was the most loveliest piece, I think, that anybody could ever write. I should look at it, he was a legend. And I was lucky enough to, in my time as Leinster chairman, I brought him to Croke Park one day. I brought him as a guest and I got a steward to show him around Croke Park. And but I said, when you're finished bringing him around Croke Park, bring him back to me, because I want to bring him out on the pitch and I want to bring him into the dressing room. I felt very honoured to be able to do it and to have him there. And I know he said to me, he looked around Croke Park and he said, and he took off, he had a hat he used to wear, he was very elegant looking, Billy was, and I brought him into the dressing room and he went into the training area, and I never forget what he said to me. And I said, well, what do you think? He said, well, it's a bit bigger than when we were here. I better mention my old buddy here, and I'm left-handed, Alan, I think I told you that, as you know. And the man that's responsible for that, by the way, was a man who used to come into our house most mornings. He was a hero in our house at home, and he was one of my heroes as well. That's Ned Wheeler. He used to always ask me to shake hands with the one nearest my heart. And my mother always blamed him for making me left-handed. But look, my father and mother talked about these people. They were all legends to them, and they were our heroes that time.
We are the boys of Wexford who fought with heart and hand to burst to twain the galling chain and free our native land.
The boys of Wexford were surely given many the rousing rendition as the men of Wexford came back in 55 and 56 with the Liam McCarthy. One such musician and local historian, Liam Gall, remembers it well.
We're all 6 footers. Fine, strapping, strong men. And I had the privilege and the honour of being at Croke Park with my uncle Willie Furlong from the Fife. Went up on the diesel, as we called it, the diesel train, and we were in the sideline, sitting in the sideline, and I was there for one of the All-Ireland winning matches, 55 I think it was. And in 56, when the team came home to be cheered on by the townspeople, I was playing a bit of music at that time, and there was another young man, my same age group, a man called Paddy Murray from Athaspic, and Tom Harper, George Ross, and they got all the traditional players together. And we marched out to the old bridge playing our melodeons and what have you. There was tar barrels, torches, and we actually played for a Cayley while we were waiting for the lorry to come in with the hurlers on. Oh, they were great times, and there was great excitement.
Yeah, and these men of the 50s, were they feted? Were they seen as celebrities in those days?
Yes, because every young fella wanted to be a Nicky Rackard or a Willie Rackard or a Podge Cahoe, and all you saw was young lads with hurls. hopping a ball and whelping a ball against the end wall of a house, much to the annoyance of some of the elderly people. In school, I was in the brother school, and we had a brother Perkins there at the time, and we spent more time making hurleys than we did doing anything else. And he would give you a piece of glass, and you'd put the hurley, bosh of the hurley, up against the desk and hold it with your chest, and we'd shave off the excess timber. And he made the most fantastic hurleys, and he supplied all the young lads on the school very gratis and for not.
The chair of Wexford GAA is Derek Kent. Derek has great memories of the men of the 50s as well.
It was the golden era. We won more titles in the 50s than any other decade. We won two All-Irelands, we won two leagues, and we won four Leinsters. That was eight serious titles we won in hurling. It was the golden era, and it still remains the golden era.
What do you think that legacy is, Derek?
Well, like, we were in Long Island last February, and we met with Art Foley, and I remember it was a vivid memory. He could remember like it was yesterday, so it was great listening to him and the experience of sitting down beside him and his enthusiasm for Wexford hurling. So the legacies that them lads left was for hurling in Wexford. We beat Galway in 55, Cork in 56. We beat all the big teams in the 50s. Golden era. We had 10 titles in the 50s with Leinster leagues and All-Ireland championships. So really, that was the golden era.
The hand that held the stick of ash, and the man who led with style and dash, oh, Carrick Tool once felt the crash, and Bennett's Bridge and Thurles.
Legendary GAA commentator Micheála Mura Hurtig numbers the Wexford team of the 50s amongst his very favourite teams, and he told us why.
They were big men themselves, or at least whether the jerseys created that idea that they were big men, but there were some huge men on it, and a few handy small men as well, like Tim Flood, and maybe Jim English wasn't a 6 foot six player or anything like that. But I remember the day of the Leinster final, would it be 51, the parade around the field, and there were four records in it that day. Billy, you know, he was the youngest of the three, and then Bobby and Nicky, and Jimmy was in goal that day, and he was a good goalkeeper. And that's the day that it first struck me, them leading, going around the field there, you know, Kelly, the boy from Killan. You know, the records look so big, and what's the line or two out of that? 7 feet was his height with some inches in, to spare, and he looked like a king in command.
Here come Wexford, led by Nick Record, the boy from Killan, and his brothers Bobby and Willie.
Tell me who is the giant with the gold curling hair? He all right.
Equal Nicky try for a Nicky special. He's life. Looking at the goal. He's bending. He's lifting. He's striking. And he sends it high. And it's over the bar for the lead for Wexford again.
Like a king in command.
Bobby Rackard beats Christy right, Ring and sends the Wexford men attacking again.
Wexford's Willie Rackard to take this shot, and he takes it, a high ball, a long ball, a straight ball, and it's over the bar for a well-taken point.
John Kelly, the boy from Calais.
That was the appearance that Nicky Rackard and all those fellas, when they came on the field, they were kings in command. And right through, you know, for the next 20 years, they were very, very prominent. I was there when they won all their All-Irelands, you know, 55, 56, which will never be forgotten, and again, 60, 68. They were great days for hurling. Even if you go into the dressing rooms in Parky, Rin, down in Cork, the first photograph will strike you will be the Rackard brothers, and then maybe the Rackards with Christy Ring.
And so, to round off this special tribute to a special team that had glamour, style, substance, and carried it with humility, we leave the final word to the legend that is Ned Wheeler, and what it meant to the Model County when these gallant heroes set the heather blazing.
Some went in pony and traps. They left on a Wednesday, and they went up somewhere to Dun York by Mayhem and Nature, and they tethered the horse there for a few hours and off again. Joe Breen now, the great Joe Breen. Joe had a pony and trap on the Cork Park to those games. And they came back in celebration when they lost. It was a great treat. The town was deserted.
And how did you go? How did you make your way up to Croke Park?
Paddy Bales got rest of them, or Paddy Roach from Rosslare. They used to drive us up about 30 miles an hour.
And you'd all, how many piled into the one car?
There could be 7 or 10 in the car.
Yeah.
Paddy Rosa had a big powerful car. But they could hold 5 normally in the back seat. There could be 7 in it.
And who were your close friends? Was Nicky Rackard one of your close friends?
They were all friends. Any fella who stripped that time in the dressing room, they were friends. On and off the field. Lovely, lovely fellas. And I never heard a bad word out of them. No matter what.
What were the celebrations like after when you had all Ireland success?
They were fantastic. So the whole place closed down. Wexford, on a Monday after an All Ireland final, there wouldn't be a sinner working on it. Not a sinner. A new era had hit the town, and the lads took great, great pleasure in it. Rackard, though, he would be, I'm 83, 84 coming. He'd be 94. He was alive. Nick O'Donnell, the same, but they were fairly hardy. And Mick Hanlon. And sad to say, they're all gone.
Oh, friends, they flanked you side by side. The tears they shed were tears of pride. An ash tree toppled when you died, and scattered seeds at random. And Blackstairs men who saw you then still speak of you. Cormans Green, where you have been, they tell of what they saw. We watched you on September fields, and lightning was the drive. You were the one cool Cullen's son in 1955. Yes, you were the one cool Cullen's son in 1955.